Welcome to the Introverted Apostle, the podcast for Christian introverts who love Jesus and their faith, but struggle with the social side of church life. I'm Roman Asbill, proud introvert.
And I'm David Wilson, equally introverted and proud of it.
Here we'll explore what it means to live out our faith as introverts, finding peace in community, purpose in silence, and in service, and strength in stillness.
We are not psychologists or theologians, just two guys who overthink for fun and decided to hit record while doing it. In today's episode, we are diving into understanding introversion in a church setting. So grab your coffee, settle in, and join us on this quiet journey of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, please open our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to your word. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right. Today, our guest is Carson Gerber. Carson, hello. Thank you for joining us today.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me onto the podcast.
Yeah. So, Carson, if you would, introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Carson Gerber. I am a professional counselor by trade. I've been doing that for about 13 years now. I attend First Methodist Church in Canyon. Been attending there for about 18 years, about as long as I've been married. So I've been married for 18 years. I have four kids, and it is a fast and wild time at my house. So I am also very proud introvert. Been so for 40 years now. So nice. thanks for having me again.
Yeah, thank you. And it's my understanding you know Roman.
Yes. So I met Roman back, probably 2012.
Back when we were pups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
We didn't have gray hair. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So you have a little bit more.
And we used to work out together as well in the mornings.
We
were
working apart.
See, let's see, 2012, that was when I wasn't working out.
It's been a little
and
while
that's when
me.
I was working out. So, yeah. And now I'm not.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm embracing that part of 40.
Yeah.
Maybe I should think back to when I was,
In today's episode, we're talking about understanding introversion in a church setting. So in episode one, we talked about what introversion is, what extroversion is, and how they differ. Today, we're actually going to break that down a little bit more and go into the church side of things. And so that's why we brought Carson in today. And so, Carson, how would you describe what being an introvert means to you, especially in the context of your faith life?
Well, I think, again, like I said, I'm an introvert. Kind of my personality, I can handle groups, but I really thrive kind of in the close-knit relationships, but also in solitude. And so as far as my faith life goes, I think it plays really well to being able to relate to a number of people that we read in the Bible. Think about Daniel. You know, he constantly got away to pray. I mean, that's the whole reason why they used the law against praying and worshiping to trip him up. You know, but more than anything, I think about Jesus, and you always read about how he went away and he prayed, and how that was life-giving to him. And so for me, I see that in my own life of, yes, I can handle being out and amongst a lot of people. I can have fun with it. You know, I think that's kind of the misconception is people think, well, introverts can't have fun in groups. No, we can. But at some point, we need to recharge. And so for me, being introverted in that regard, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's just how I recharge my batteries. But it's really opened up a kind of a door to that deep personal time that I spend either in prayer or reading scripture. I don't know, mainly because I can kind of compartmentalize and shut everything else out. Yeah. I think introverts are uniquely qualified, the right word? I don't know. Uniquely equipped to compartmentalize and block out a lot of the noise that otherwise could be distracting for it.
Mm-hmm. Roman, what about you?
I think the same. I think perhaps introverts get classified in the church setting as, oh, that'd be the perfect person to go set up chairs and, you know, or work in the kitchen and or fire up the grill and do the cooking. And certainly behind the scenes is perfect for an introvert as well. But like Carson was saying, I don't think it's I think to overlook us, especially in things where it has to do with prayer or any sort of, there was a one-on-one. I mean, Carson's a counselor. I think in the church world, I know there has to be some qualification to that. But just sitting down and being able to be a good listener for someone, I think listening heals almost, well, sometimes more than all the advice in the world that you could get. So that's just my two cents on that.
Yeah, for me, I think where it really shines through in my faith life is where I'm involved in different ministries. I was a Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus at St. Mary's Cathedral for about 3 years. And one of my strengths has always been the strength of observation. Mm. And so, you know, through that, through just sitting back and watching people and how they interact and where their strengths lie, I am able to encourage those individuals to maybe serve in a leadership position within the organization or within the parish or within the church, because I've taken the time to actually stop and look and watch and really see where a person's strengths might best benefit.
Yep.
You know?
Well, I think that also kind of points to, you know, one of the definitions for the introverted individual is that reserved introvert or the restrained introvert.
Right.
And I think so much of the time you need somebody that can take it all in and then be able to speak into that situation. Mm-hmm. And I think the introverted person is uniquely qualified to do that, maybe because they're just not so unfamiliar with that environment. But to your point, mm-hmm. Roman, I think they do get overlooked a lot of times. And it's almost like we're going to do you a favor by, you know, having you over here. Right. And really, it should be the question that is often reversed, because, you know, think of like congregational care. An introverted person might be the best person qualified to go and be with somebody in a hospital room or to a shut-in that hasn't been able to go to church because, you know, physical limitations or something along that lines. And not only to do that, but to kind of head that ministry, because their unique qualities and traits position them in such a place to do it well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to get somebody to do something in the church just to have them active, but you also want them to be able to do well and thrive in their giftings.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's kind of a broader question too, is I think back, you know, Psalms 139 says, you know, he knitted me in my mother's womb. He mm-hmm. before I was even formed, he knew me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So that means that if God chose in his infinite wisdom to create me with an introverted personality, there was a reason and a purpose for that. Mm-hmm. And that reason and purpose is one, to glorify him, to know him better, but also to have a place and a purpose in the kingdom, to mm-hmm. be able to advance the kingdom, you know? So I think people's mindset just has to be switched a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not a hindrance to be an introvert.
Right.
It's a unique calling, just as much as it would be a unique calling to be an extrovert. Mm-hmm. I don't really think one's better than the other, to be honest.
Right. No, I don't either. But there's certainly stereotypes. I know, going back to like hospital ministry, the stereotype might be, well, if we send an introvert, they'll walk in and then they won't know what to say. Mm-hmm. Could be, depending on the introvert. But also an introvert would perhaps walk into a room very observant and read the room and be able to tell, okay, this person's really in pain. And just a little, perhaps, not that extroverts don't have any intuition at all, but maybe walk in and observe first, look around, scope the room. I remember having an extroverted person going to do hospital ministry one time, and the person that was the patient later called the church and was like, please don't send that person.
They were like, that's not the call you want to get.
They just talk and talk and talk and talk. And I felt horrible. And it's like, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people just want people to sit with them in silence. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in episode one, we talked about the four different types of introverts. And we have the social introvert. We have the thinking introvert, the anxious introvert, and the restrained or reserved introvert.
So Carson, out of that list, where do you fall in that category, on those categories?
I'm definitely the restrained introvert.
Okay. So how's that play out, like in your daily life or in your work or your job or church?
Well, in work as a counselor, kind of like what we were saying, some people just need you to sit and hear them out. And then whenever you do speak into the situation, you really need to be accurate to what you're speaking to. And so I think that plays well to my current profession, but I would say I've probably been a restrained introvert most of my life. My dad was one who taught by you watching. And so I got really practiced by watching what he's doing. And then you started doing it, you know.
Which, just, by the way, is great for guys.
It is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's the best way to. I love that.
You know, I wish I would have taken more stock into that. Hindsight 2020, you know, is always great. But I wish I could go back and be like, okay, hey, you know what? You might be bored to death right now, but pay attention. You know, it's going to matter. But I think just early on, that just played to my personality. Mm-hmm. Observe and then do. Not to say I didn't have some wild moments where my parents were like, what were you thinking? I wasn't. I didn't observe all the things I should have observed. I just thought and did, you know. But
I'm an introvert, but I'm also a boy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to mess some things up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to mess them up great. So,
yeah.
So for all of those listening, the restrained introvert in a church perspective is considered the thoughtful witness. It takes time to warm up for the restrained or reserved introvert. They're not necessarily shy, but prefer to observe and think before acting or speaking. Slow to start, but steady and thoughtful once comfortable. Now, according to the research that we've done here, and just as a reminder, this is based on the popular framework by psychologist Jonathan Cheek and other psychologists, but faith expression for a restrained introvert is they take time to process spiritual experiences and is deliberate in action. Their witness is steady, consistent, and authentic. And in the church, they're excellent in roles that value patience and discernment, like sacristans, planners, or those who bring order and calm to ministry teams. Mm. All right, Carson, big question for you. What kind of introvert do you think Roman is?
If I was to guess, I'm either going to say that you are a thinking introvert or a restrained introvert.
Thinking introvert.
Yep. That's where I was leaning to. Yep.
That's where I land today. We've talked about this before. I think growing up, I was probably the anxious introvert. It's more of a gentle soul, but I was a underlying anxiety just kind of in my temperament as a whole. But as I've gotten older, I think it turned into the thinking introvert, which the thinking introvert, according to our paper, it's the contemplative, but also they just spend a lot of time in their own thoughts. That is why I actually need extroverted friends, or a very self-aware introverted friend, or one that's aware of me, to pull me out of my own thoughts at times. And also they're very introspective, imaginative, and tend to analyze themselves in the world deeply. I can analyze myself to death. I can aggravate my wife to death. Anything I need to work on, hon? What do I need to work on? But their faith expression feels closest to God through reflection, theology, or journaling. Love to journal. I've journaled since high school. They love pondering scripture, the catechism, or the mysteries of the faith. And in the church, ideal for study groups, catechists, or writing reflections, and they help others see the why behind what we believe. So pretty dead on for me. So how about you, David? Where do you land?
Well, so since Carson wasn't here for episode one, I'll go ahead and go into it again. But in high school, I would have said I'm an anxious introvert. For those of you who are listening and might identify as an anxious introvert, they're the gentle soul. Feel uneasy or self-conscious in social situations, even familiar ones. They might replay interactions afterward and prefer solitude where they feel more at ease. Their faith expression, their encounters with God in stillness and safety, finding peace in his presence. They may struggle with social anxiety, but bring a tender empathy for others' pain. And then in the church, they're beautiful in prayer ministries, intercession, or compassion-based service like visiting the sick or letter writing. offering quiet strength and understanding. So that would have been me kind of in high school. And our next guest, John Reeves, he kind of identifies more as an anxious introvert. Mm-hmm. And so you'll get to hear more from him on our next episode. In college, I was probably more of a restrained and reserved introvert. I still feel like some of that's still true about me, especially the being able to observe and mm-hmm. and really find the value in different things. But now I'm more so probably a social introvert. As a matter of fact, Roman and I tend to joke about the fact that my wife will argue that I am not an introvert. She says, you are extroverted, but definitely a social introvert. And so that's more of an intentional gatherer. Social introverts, they prefer small groups or alone time over large crowds. They can enjoy socializing, but choose to keep their inner circles small and interactions meaningful. Faith expression of social introverts, they find God most clearly in quiet prayer, adoration, or small faith groups where deep conversation flows. And in the church, they thrive in ministries that allow meaningful one-on-one conversations or connections, spiritual direction, mentoring, or helping behind the scenes in parish life.
Well, with a social introvert, if you were to read that description, you know, prefers a small group, that alone time, but can still manage large crowds, who does that sound like?
Gee, that sounds like Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think I would ever classify Jesus as introvert or extrovert. I think he's God. He has all these qualities.
Exactly. Yeah.
But there's things that you can see within how he's moving and how he's acting that you're like, in this small way, I can relate.
Mm-hmm. And everybody can relate.
Yeah. And to me, that just takes you back to Genesis, where we're formed in his image. Mm-hmm. So these qualities, these traits, man, it's just a reflection of who created us, mm-hmm. you know. And in a certain way, it almost makes it tangible. Yeah, mm-hmm. it almost makes Genesis, you can reach out and grab it a little bit.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, I just think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of too. That is cool.
Have you ever felt, in your introversion, misunderstood or overlooked in the church just because of your quieter nature?
Within the church, I would say probably not. So, like I said, growing up, I was in a non-denominational church, and it was a small church.
Yeah.
So, I remember when our youth group, when we started it, because we had to start it, I think there was 8 of us.
Wow. Yep.
Well, with 8 people, everybody has something that they are going to do. It's not like, right. It's not like, well, you know, hey, we don't need everybody. No, you need everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just part of it. And so growing up, that was never a thing really. And then as I became an adult, just the people who were in my small kind of close circle, they just happened to be involved in a lot of different aspects of the church. And because they knew me, they were like, hey, would you mind doing this? Would you? And so I think that's where the strong relationships as the introvert can form almost naturally, because they're so one-on-one and personal in that regards. In many ways, that can actually pull them in more directions mm-hmm. than I think people really acknowledge a lot of the times.
Right. Yeah. How about you, David?
Honestly, I think I'm with Carson. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know that I've ever felt misunderstood or overlooked in church because of my quieter nature. Now, I tend to, when I first start getting involved in a new church, I am more on the quiet side, and I kind of stand back, and I just kind of wait to see what the terrain is like. But once I'm comfortable, like St. Mary's, I've been there, shoot, probably coming on 12 years now. And I'm so comfortable there that I've never been really overlooked. As a matter of fact, people often come to me and say, David, will you do this? Will you do this? Will you do this? Which again, you know, goes back to the problem of we're always asking the same people to do more stuff instead of people that aren't doing anything.
Right.
But that's a whole other conversation. But generally, when I'm at a church and I've never been involved before, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to watch, I'm going to see what it is that how this church operates, how these people operate, how they interact. And I'm going to see, okay, where do I feel comfortable kind of placing myself in that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, now that I am more comfortable, I mean, I've been there over a decade at St. Mary's Cathedral. And so, you know, for me, it's now a matter of, do I have the time? Am I overextending myself?
Right.
Am I even interested in that type of ministry or that type of organization within the church?
Yeah, I think that's the same. I can look around and see what's missing, where are the gaps, what do they need? Mm-hmm. And I would be happy behind the scenes in the sound booth or running a live stream. I'm also would be happy to be in front of people talking. Either is fine. It's really wherever, you know, the help is needed. Yeah. I think when it comes to public speaking, that's the one place where I feel like there's maybe allow a little room for the person's personality. I think I don't know why our culture tends to push like,
In your face.
And I had the privilege where Carson goes to church at the Methodist church there in Canyon. When I was on staff there, the pastor was an introvert as well. And so he understood introverts. And so I felt like there was not a push to make everything just big and over the top. And if that was your personality, that was fine. But there wasn't a push. I've been at other places where that was almost a requirement. Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, I think so much of anything now, it has to be a production. It has to grab your attention.
Right.
And reality, it doesn't. I mean, you have to be engaged necessarily, but there's a whole other level of engagement when somebody knows, hey, I have your undivided attention,
mm-hmm.
that I'm here in this moment as long as this moment needs us to be here. You know, you talk, David, about people always asking the same people and why we always ask the same people in the church to do things. I think that goes to whoever's doing that asking knows that person. Mm-hmm. Well, how do they get to know that person? They spent that quality time with them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, I think the introverts pray really well equipped
mm-hmm.
to get to know the giftings and talents of people within their church
mm-hmm.
because they'll take that time. I'm not saying extroverts won't take the time to form meaningful relationships. I'm not saying that. I think they can have great relationships. But I think the introvert is uniquely gifted. Again, and I'm probably just going to harp on that uniquely gifted mm-hmm. piece. To say they can get to know somebody very deeply.
Because
mm-hmm. I think that's one of the qualities of the introverts and the relationships they form.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, agree.
How do y'all see introversion fitting within a faith context? So do you think that introverts experience spirituality differently?
100%.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think it would be the same as if you asked, does a child see the world the same way that an adult does? Or does a man see the world the same way that a woman does?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, me and my wife, we can look at a room and she's going to pick out a lot of different things in that room. And she's probably going to have to go and point to those things before I notice those things, you know?
Yeah.
But does it mean that what we experience is any less vivid? No. I think the extrovert and the introvert, they experience life and the fullness of life through the lens that God created within them, I think is 100% different. But that's also kind of a beautiful thing because when we're in relationship, we get to see things differently because they share those perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's almost like we were made for community.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
100%.
Can you put me in the lobby, in the foyer, in the narthex of a church? As people are coming in to greet them, that is going to be my least favorite place in the world to be. It's not because I don't like people, but I don't want to have a 3-second conversation with somebody. Mm-hmm. I would love to go out afterwards, perhaps, and go have coffee or go to lunch. But that would be like, but an extrovert in that situation who's warm and you feel. It would be horrible to just have only introverts at the entrance of your church. People are coming in. They're just kind of like, they're looking
names.
Down at their phone yeah. or they're like.
You might see one person, you know, wave.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be bad. So, but I think in a faith community, yeah, all of it's needed. And it's fun to see where people plug in. So how do you think God uses quieter, more reflective personalities in building his church?
I think through prayer chiefly. When I think of my own prayer life, there are times where, you know, I feel like the prayer's not getting past the ceiling, mm-hmm. right? And typically it's because my heart's not in the right place. Or maybe I need to spend some time in confession, you know, or maybe I need to spend some more time in scripture. But chiefly, it's that getting away. Mm-hmm. If I'm over here, you know, and I'm reading my Bible and everything, and I have my phone sitting here and it's dinging because some notification's coming up, well, then my attention is like, what's this? Mm-hmm. Where was I at? Mm-hmm. Right? Or, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing to pray when you're stressed. I think it's a great time to pray when you're stressed. I think it's a great time to pray when you're not stressed too. But if everything is pressing in, then a lot of times my prayer becomes the grocery list type mm-hmm. prayer mm-hmm. rather than the prayer that we see. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians where it talks about give thanks in all situations, mm-hmm. not for all situations, but in all situations. I need to approach God in that same mindset of this situation is really stressing me out.
Yeah.
But thank God, you were in control. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you thanks for that. But that allows me to become quiet. That allows me to be able to kind of sit to the side and say, okay, I don't have to be in control. And I really don't need to know what the answer is. I just need to be able to commune with God, who I know loves me, who I know is working all things mm-hmm. for the good. Okay. And I don't feel like personally I can do that if I'm not practicing that solitude. Now, that solitude may be in the car going down I-27, mm-hmm. okay? Yeah. Or it may be at my kitchen table. It may be as I am listening to a client across the room, and I'm like, God, what do I need to say in this situation? How do I help them? Because yeah. I'm hearing their situation, and I'm drawing a blank. I don't know what to do. And so that moment of solitude, I think, can happen anywhere because I think it's a heart issue. Mm-hmm. So to go back to your question, I think it's vitally important. I'm not really sure how people do it without it.
Yeah.
There may be a way. I just don't know what that way would be.
Yep.
So it's about being receptive to mm-hmm. God. It's, you know, oftentimes, well, when I met my wife, she talked about all the time about hearing the voice of God, hearing the voice of God. And I'm just like, how the heck do you hear the voice of God? I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember that for us to know who God is, we have to read scripture. Mm-hmm. And when we read scripture, we know that God is not an in-your-face, like, mm-hmm. He is a very quiet, very subtle, because he's not, he gives us the choice to choose him. Mm-hmm. And so when he is trying to tell us something, we have to sit in that quiet, even if it's on I-27 on the way to work. Yeah. We have to be receptive to hearing what he has to say to us. And, you know, hearing the voice of God, that, I mean, that's a whole other podcast. That's mm-hmm. a whole other conversation. And there's plenty of resources out there to tell you how to get to that point. But you have to be open to hearing what God has to say in order to do what God is willing for you to do. And so I think that's how he uses those quieter, more reflective personalities in building his church. Because when I worked in student housing, and there were often emergencies and crises that just came out of nowhere. And we'd have meetings, and the staff would be like, okay, what do we need to do to tackle this? And oftentimes I knew what could be done, but I needed time to sit back, think about it, gather as much information as possible, and just reflect and meditate mm-hmm. on the issue so that way it could be handled in a way that is most effective and it has the best in mind for the people involved. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so same thing with the church. We have to be able to and I understand what sometimes we have to make decisions on the fly, but having those individuals that can really sit and think and reflect and look at all the details, look at all the information, and then have an opportunity to listen to what God is telling them and what God is or where God's asking you to go. Mm-hmm. That's how he uses us in the church. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think practically speaking, you need a few more reflective personalities on any sort of committee or in that type of arena as well, because anything that has to do with church business, mm-hmm. Can quickly just get to where we're all just coming up with ideas and throwing things in the pile. And there needs to be somebody that can go. I don't know how many committees I've been a part of where we say we're going to get together and pray about what the Lord wants to do, and that doesn't happen until that one person in the room is like, hold on, let's pray. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, prayer. Prayer, you know, oh, yeah.
I'm on the leadership board at my church, and we've just restructured all the leadership piece of that, going from the First United Methodist to the Global Methodist, and mm-hmm. you want to talk about roller coaster. That was a crazy ride. But in that, I would say right now our board, there's a good mix of those extroverts and introverts. Man, you want somebody that's great for like a building finance campaign? Find some extroverts, mm-hmm. man. Go forth, yeah. Do what you do, and you know, we'll come back here and we'll read all the numbers.
Yeah.
You know? So I think you know, you talk about giftings.
Yeah.
You even talk about how does God speak? I think for an introvert, we get those quiet times. Those are things that really speak to us, and I think that can happen for extroverts as well. But mm-hmm. for the extrovert, I bet, and I'm not talking from experience because I'm not an extrovert, I bet they are more in tune to hear from other people mm-hmm. what God is speaking through those other people.
Yes.
Why? Because they are in and amongst
mm-hmm. yeah.
other people all the time.
Yep.
I would be willing to bet if you brought an extrovert onto the podcast, I bet they would be, yeah, so-and-so was saying, X, Y, and Z. And mm-hmm. man, that just confirmed what I've been praying for. Or right. that's what,
yep.
Somebody else had also been. I think God's trying to tell me something, mm-hmm. Nothing is wasted with God.
Right.
I mean, I think we're pretty confident in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll use my introverted qualities and he'll use somebody else's extroverted qualities. And guess what? He's still in control and it's going to be okay.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Marriage as an example, when you come back to even communication, whether it's in a committee, whether it's in a small group, whether it's someone speaking publicly, the communication style, it needs to be, all of us need to learn more than one, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe something that's neglected is when communication becomes all about me talk, you listen, you talk, me listen.
Mm-hmm.
Also in a marriage, there's that quiet conversation of when you're just in the kitchen fixing something together and you already know the next person's next move because you've spent time with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no communication verbally necessary. It's I know you because I've spent time with you.
Mm-hmm. You move from communication to relationship.
Yeah.
One last question I have is, what advice would you give introverts who feel guilty for needing solitude in a community-centered church?
I would say you have to guard your heart against that belief. I don't think that belief is truthful. Again, God knitted you together. I mean, that's crystal clear. It's black and white in Scripture. And those qualities, those have his thumbprints on it.
Mm.
He designed you in such a way that quietness and that solitude is where you and him get to walk. I go back again to Genesis and that walking in the garden. That's talking about that relationship that we have with God. And so for needing that time to get away with God, I wouldn't feel bad about that at all.
Mm.
I would just recognize that the God who loves you, the God who died for you, he created this in you for a reason. And instead of feeling bad about it, I would say go and explore it. Yeah. There's a reason behind it. Go see what that reason was.
And I would suggest that, just kind of piggybacking off of that, when you do go to your church, and let's say you do need that solitude, even in the middle of church activities, find that one place at your church where you can go to just sit, be still, be quiet. So that way you can recharge your battery and hopefully hear from God too in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just boundaries, learning when to say no, not saying yes to everything and not feeling guilty when you have to say no. But the flip side of the coin, as introverts, we also need community. It's not like just because we're wired a certain way that we are okay just being alone all the time. Mm-hmm. I need somebody in my life looking over my shoulder and encouraging me and pulling me out of, you know, my shell. And so so both. It is a both and. You have to know when to say no and then go, you know, I'm just but today I'm being a little bit to just inside and so I need somebody to draw me out.
So what you're saying, Roman, it reminds me of that verse where it talks about iron sharpening iron. I think it is so needed for both introverts and extroverts to be in each other's life because the qualities they bring about, they don't conflict with one another. They complement one another when I think they are moving in the same direction. So I need extroverts in my life, and you know, two of my kids are very extroverted. Mm. You know, so you know, apparently God said, "Yeah, you needed some a little bit more extroverts in your life. Here you go, have fun." But I do think it is a place where we need to recognize the uniqueness of our qualities, but also that they work together for a purpose.
Yeah, and there'll be sparks, but you'll get sharp from it.
Yeah,
that's right. On today's episode of The Introverted Apostle, we've been talking with Carson Gerber. Carson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for our next episode. And remember that even a whisper can move mountains.
I don't think so. No, 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 no. I don't think so. No, 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 no. It's never, ever, ever, ever.